Tangled in the Lion's Mane. Written and read by Fresney. Fandom Sherlock BBC. Part of the Variations on an Equation series. Sherlock Holmes sent precisely 2 stories to Watson's editor for publication. The relevant one being the Lion's Mane. The point of which was her slow slide into obsolescence. The true embedded point was the single remark that she'd been deserted by Watson for a wife. She might have said it again. Deserted for a wife again. She called him selfish and didn't say why. She found herself no more capable of congratulating him the first time than the second. She told herself to be reasonable, rational, the possessor of a fine instrument without grit. She was a beta. Her body was transport. Alphas married omegas. Betas at best provided support. And by the time of the second desertion, those days were well behind her. She smashed a great many objects of personal significance. When she received the wire asking her to be his child's milk mother. A courtesy at their age, but with such a younger omega to wife, it was sure to be the first of several requests. Thus she smashed objects, and went for a walk on the Suffolk beach, and was an idiot, in the very field that had brought her fame, and wrote a story to tell the world of how it was better off with her withdrawn into retirement. She walked on the beach and was curmudgeonly, grew profoundly bored, put herself in her elder sister's hands and was flung across the ocean to be a disaffected Irish woman for the benefit of capturing a spy. She was a beta. Betas were meant to be of use. England was the only omega she should ever need to serve. England gave her tasks and she gave resolutions. She was not what she had been, but she was still coldly brilliant. Watson's child died when she was away. That child, and the child after. Her heart ached to see him so lost on her return. Lost and flinging himself into a war of which no good could come. An ill east wind. Though ever the romantic, he romanticized it. She was of service. She was not obsolescent. The only surprise really was that she died in her bed. Her last consolation looking up at Watson was at least she had predeceased him. She'd have been lost without her Boswell. She'd been lost. She died. What precisely possessed anyone to have her body preserved in honey, her own honey? And buried in a glass coffin under Scotland Yard, she could not have said. Here lay the great detective. Look upon her and gawk. To wake up on a cold metal bed was unpleasant. To find that she was young again, that her body worked as it had not worked in 30 years, that her mind was once more that precise instrument, and that the grit that she had never allowed herself to acknowledge was now a gaping hole in the middle of her chest. Watson had died and been buried. No preservation in honey for her Boswell. The Boswell to her Beta. She looked at Beth Lestrade, a descendant of her own Lestrade, and listened to absurdity. With all that the future held in it, a moron had cloned Moriarty from a corpse in a Swiss cave, and the solution, the only solution anyone could come up with, was to reverse aging and death itself, so that Sherlock Holmes could once more be upon the case. It was slightly depressing. Baker Street was a museum. She was a museum piece. She belonged in a museum. Computers? Flying vehicular transport? Compudroids? Sherlock reminded herself that this compudroid, this thing, this it, did not mean to mock her when it put on Watson's face and spoke with Watson's voice, based on that record he had pressed in 1923, reading a selection of their adventures, and took Watson's name and acted as if this was of assistance. It was of assistance. Together, as they say, they fought crime. The methods changed. Technology had shifted, but in the end, people were people. Sherlock was very good at solving the grotesque and the absurd, which the future had in plenty. People were people. Except the machine living in her home and speaking to her with Watson's voice. She knew that if there were always crime, and there was a way to turn back the years, they would never let her die. Either she'd be revived or cloned. If Moriarty, then they'd certainly clone the great detective, and think a droid was sufficient to replace Watson. The future spread before her infinitely. At least the skyline had changed. At least there was always crime. Sometimes she would stand with her back turned to it and focus on the sound of its voice and allow the grit to dig a little deeper, a little deeper. It had no scent. When she complained that she could not think with this scentless thing in her rooms, it came back with a scent. Alpha. It came back smelling like Watson, having analyzed Watson's clothes in the museum's collection. It was warm. It explained how, but she deleted the explanation. She deleted the record, and she deleted the analysis of Watson's clothes. Sometimes she would sit in their rooms and pretend she wasn't watching him. It. One evening, she was sorting through the agony blogs when John, because she could hardly call him Watson, said, "I have read all of Dr. Watson's stories, notes, lectures, papers, and interviews." She closed her eyes briefly, loathing this reminder. Her tone was sharp. "You have mentioned this, while I have mentioned that I hate repetition." His breath ghosted along her cheek. She vividly remembered the day he, it, started breathing. The adventure of the Sussex vampire lot. He said, "I have come to the conclusion Dr. Watson was in love with you." She remained facing away from it. "Him." He had an unusual way of indicating it. She meant the Omegas. She meant moving out. She meant dying of old age. She meant not coming back from the dead with her. His mustache brushed along her cheek. His lips brushed against her neck. Warm and alive. A sob burrowed its way up from the hole in her middle and escaped her throat. He said, "I love you, Sherlock." He turned her around so gently. She looked into his eyes, and she knew that he meant it. She was the foremost detective of this or any age. She looked at John. She looked at the dearest face to her in all the world, and deleted something that was not very important. Not very important at all. She whispered, "I love you too," and kissed him with all the love in that, or any age. The end.